jumping into the life of Mark. And Jesus through the eyes of Mark, who's a follower of Jesus. And over the last several weeks, we've been hitting, Jesus was on the along the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching parables, teaching his followers, teaching the crowd about God and about the kingdom of God. When he finished teaching the crowds and healing the masses of sick, he hops in a boat and tells his followers, let's sail over to the other side. Last week we talked about that story about how they're sailing over the other side of the Sea of Galilee and they get caught in the middle of a storm. And the story of how Jesus gets them through that storm. They reach the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They get out of the boat. They climb up a little bit of a hill on the Sea of Galilee. And immediately Jesus encounters a very, very troubled individual. A man who is being possessed. And that is the story we're going to read today. I'm going to be busting through about 20 different verses. It's in Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me there, verse 1, or you can read it on the screen behind me. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial cave and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist, smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to defeat him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. But Jesus was still some distance away. The man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this room." So the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirit came out of the man and entered the pigs. The entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside and into the lake, drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus and they saw the man who'd been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who'd seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man in the pit, and the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them. As Jesus was getting in the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No. Go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he is." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. It's a pretty fantastic story. It's an interesting story that Mark explains, because as he goes through the book of Mark, Mark is one of little detail. He busts through stories really, really quickly. He tells stories really, really quickly, and then he moves on. This is one story in the book of Mark where Mark really goes into a lot of detail about what is happening in this story. Very, very obvious. Jesus had sailed across the Sea of Galilee, and he had a divine appointment with this man. He had a divine appointment. God was setting this encounter up. He's setting up this encounter. Last week we talked about the different storms of life. Jesus had and his disciples they sailed across the Sea of Galilee, and they were going through. They ended up hitting a really big storm. And I talked about how, like, there are storms in our lives that come and hit us. Maybe not a physical, literal storm, but there's situations in life that are not fun. There's struggles, there's problems that you deal with. There's storms in life. And I said there's three different reasons for their storms in life. I said one of the reasons is that we just, at times, make really, really bad decisions. Out of our sin comes storms of life. It's stuff that we've walked into out of our own decisions. I said sometimes the storms of life are just due to the fact that we live in a broken world. This world that we live in is broken. It's not the way God ever meant it to be. Sin has broken this world, and because of that, there are just natural storms of life that we encounter. But I also said there's also storms of life that can be evil or demonic in nature, where there's an enemy of our soul that just wants to destroy us. He wants to take us off track, and those storms can be the result of that. When I read this story, it's such a fascinating story of Jesus encountering this man. And the question that popped my mind this week that I couldn't get out was this: was the storm that Jesus went through, that storm on the water that we talked about last week, was that storm demonic in nature? Was that storm demonic in nature? I don't know what the answer is. And I think you can argue different sides of the story, but when I read the story, I can't help but think that maybe it was. Jesus had an appointment with this troubled man that was tormented by evil spirits. And as he's sailing across the Sea of Galilee to encounter this young man, the enemy knew that Jesus was coming. And the enemy of our souls, the devil, wanted to create a situation that would keep Jesus from encountering him. Could it be that the storm was demonic in nature to take Jesus away from encountering him? At the end of the day, Satan does not want life. Satan does not want people to encounter Jesus. He doesn't want them to be set free from their addiction. He doesn't want them to be set free from the sin that's holding them down. He doesn't want them set free from the chains that are holding them down. And so he potentially sends this storm, hoping that it's going to sidetrack them and keep them away from the storm. It's incredible. It's interesting, in encountering the storm, it would have been very easy for them to say, hey, this isn't worth it, let's turn around and let's go back. Let's divert. But I think that Jesus knew exactly where he was heading, and he knew that it was worth it. He knew that it was worth it. It might have looked like Jesus was reckless. It might have looked like Jesus was looking for trouble. So he's like, no, we're gonna keep on going. We know the story of the storm where Jesus had control over even the elements of nature and calmed the storm. He said, all right, guys, let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. But when I read this story, I can't help but notice and wonder, are there storms that come up in our life that want to sidetrack us where God wants us to go, where God wants us to go? Jesus had a plan to meet that troubled man. And there was a storm that was going to come and sidetrack him and he was going to let them. There are storms that come up in our lives that want to distract us from what God wants for us. In fact, there are storms that come into our lives at times that cause us to be angry and bitter towards God, that sidetrack us from what He wants for us. The enemy wants to keep us from ministering to others as God, to allow those storms of life to keep us from people. Another thing that pops up in this story that becomes very, very evident is that all demonic and evil powers, no matter how great, are in subjection. The evil of this world is in subjection. no matter how great. When you read this story, you're like, my goodness, but that demon said, you know, Jesus said, what is your name? The demons are like, our name is Legion because we are many. That word legion comes from a Roman military term. It was a group of Roman soldiers that made up 6,000 people. And yet, 6,000 people. They're basically, that demon is trying to intimidate Jesus, in my opinion. When Jesus asked for his name, I think every one of those demons inside that man would have had an individual name, but they chose to say, we are Legion. That's not really their name, but the demons, what they're trying to do to Jesus is say, we are so many that there's nothing you can do to us. They're trying to intimidate Jesus, but it doesn't matter how big or how great it is, Jesus is not worried. Demonic forces and evil are because I feel like the world that we live in oftentimes sees things differently. I think of the Star Wars movie that many of us love and watch, right? You have the dark side. That is just so much bigger and so much powerful than the good side. It always seems like the good side is always behind. The dark side is so much bigger and so much more powerful. It always seems like in the Star Wars. You read the story of Jesus and the dark side here. Even though it seems so big, Jesus walks up and it automatically subjects it to you. They come and they kneel before him. Be merciful to us. Don't send us far from here. In fact, maybe you can just send us into this further pit. Forces of evil are yes. If you're here today and you have a really hard time even believing this story, you're like really men that people are sound like something out of a movie. Maybe you have a hard time believing that you look at the story, maybe you look at it and go, well, maybe the man is mentally ill. Maybe he has a different mental illness that is causing. This man was mentally ill. Jesus proved his mastery over that. Mark talks about all the stories of Jesus within the book of Mark, and he shows that Jesus has mastery over sickness. We've read many stories in this book of Mark about Jesus. We just read a story last week about Jesus having mastery over forces. And now Mark takes us to this story. He's trying to make the point Jesus has mastery over people. His mastery over the forces of evil. But if you have a hard time believing that, at least you can look at a story and say, maybe Jesus gives mastery over even our psychological illnesses. We live in a society today that more and more we're being diagnosed with mental illness. We live in a society of mental illness. And I would encourage you that we still really, really struggle knowing how to treat it. But as believers in Jesus, we continue to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, please help me even in this area. That even in this area, the medical science really, really struggles in knowing how to treat mental illness. To see that mental illness is a suggestion. That we can feel. When I look at this story as well, you know, Jesus headed straight for a man that society. you read this story, and it's very, very obvious that the society around this man was really, really scared of him. They chained him up. They tried to keep him away. He broke the chains, and eventually he was just outside of the city, and he's wandering around in the tombs. And the people are like, that's fine. Let him wander around the tombs as long as he stays away from us, as long as he stays away from our kids. He's dangerous. This man was so dangerous, he was able to break the chains, and he's cutting himself with stones. And everybody is staying away from this man. And even though society was staying away from a man that's very, very troubled and very, very dangerous, Jesus headed straight for it. Like he was looking for trouble. Jesus headed straight for the person that all of society was afraid. Our human nature tends to want to protect ourselves and avoid people like this. The good news of Jesus, it doesn't matter how troubled you are, it doesn't matter how messed up you are, it really doesn't even matter how dangerous you are, Jesus is heading for you. Jesus is heading for you. He's not avoiding you. If you're a person here today and you feel like you're a person that other people avoid, or maybe you feel like, man, I don't even feel comfortable in church. This is a place that I would avoid. Jesus is not one of you. Sometimes church people might avoid. But Jesus is never avoid. He's heading straight to you. No matter how flawed you are. No matter how flawed society may think you are, Jesus is heading to you. Jesus heals this man. He casts the demons out of this man. And he goes from being a person that's incredibly troubled, incredibly dangerous, being in his right mind. He now has clothes on and that. And all of society's coming around, the story's getting out. The shepherds are telling the story of him, and everybody close by is coming back, and they want to see him. What's fascinating about this story is that they see him in his right mind, they see this man clothed, they see his skills, and they are scared of him. And we read this story, it seems almost strange, but I think that in a world like our own, that's not that far different from what it was like 2,000 years ago in reality, sometimes we get so deep in the darkness that when the light shows up, we're scared of it. I think even in Canada in 2019, there's an aspect of our culture where we get so deep. That you think that when the light of Jesus comes in and brings healing and restoration, that the rest of society should rejoice with us. The reality is that when we're so used to darkness, that the light of Jesus is in us. And in this situation, people were scared of Jesus. They said, "Jesus, can you please me?" There's going to be those that are attracted to the light of Jesus. There will be those that are more attracted to the darkness that find the light of Jesus. The culture is and the thing with Jesus is that he doesn't force himself upon anybody. He doesn't force himself upon any city or any society. When Jesus is welcomed in, he comes. At the moment he was asked to leave, he said, "Okay." Last part I just want to highlight about this story before we wrap up is this, that Jesus calls even the newest believers, the followers of Jesus. He said that Jesus calls even the newest followers of Jesus. He said that. I invite those words to move forward. This man, his life has been transformed by Jesus. And his initial inclination is like, Jesus, let me leave everything that I know. Let me leave everything. You know, I have such a bad history here. Everybody knows me as the freak who runs around naked cutting himself. I want to leave that behind, and I want to start over with you. Let me follow you. It's very interesting. Jesus is like, no, I actually need you to stay. It's really, really easy to leave. That's the natural inclination. I just want to start over. But you have a testimony. I want you to go back to your family. I want you to go back to your friends. I want you to go back to your hometown. I want you to tell them what God has done in your life. I don't want you to run away from the past. I want you to go to those who knew your past. I want you to tell them what God has done. You know, sometimes in the church, when people are new to faith or new to Christianity, there's this initial thing of like, man, I need to tool up, I need to gain more knowledge, and I can't really do anything until I gain enough knowledge, or I go through enough classes, and I study the Bible enough. And what's fascinating is that this man knew nothing, really, very little about Jesus. And he's like, can you join me in ministry? I'm going to send you out. No matter where you are on the journey, Jesus calls you to ministry. It's not based upon knowledge. It's not based upon having an encounter. If you've had an encounter with Jesus and he's done something in your life, he's changed your life, you have something to say. You have a voice. No matter how broken you feel, no matter the fact that maybe you're not far enough along the journey, you have a voice. You know, this guy that Jesus encountered is fasting. You know, Jesus spent most of his time amongst, his own people group. Jesus is a Jew, and he spent most of his ministry time amongst Jewish people. This is one of those stories where actually Jesus ventures out, and when he sails to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, he's going into an area that's actually majority Gentile, non-Jewish. This man that he encounters as demon possessed most likely is not a Jew, and the people that he talks most likely not Jews because they have a herd of pigs on the side of the hillside. We don't have pigs. Encountering a non-Jewish person who has no background in God. He has no Bible background. You know, most Jewish people have studied the Old Testament. This young man probably has no Bible background at all. But he has encountered with. Actually, the word comes from the word chapel. There were Gentiles in that region, and they were all Gentile, non-Jewish people. Go out to help them about. Responsibility on this guy who had no training. He's not waiting for us. We will be together. Maybe you're someone here today, and you're someone who's avoided. Maybe you don't even feel like Jesus has avoided you. Or you feel like, man, God wouldn't want to have anything to do with you. You feel a little bit like this man who's incredibly troubled. Maybe you don't run around making fun of yourself. Don't. But you're someone who you feel in your heart that like you've maybe never felt comfortable coming to church before, or ever felt comfortable, you know, in a situation like this, you feel like God wouldn't want you, or He would avoid you. I hope through this story you can see that Jesus isn't like that. He would never avoid you. In fact, he's heading straight for you. Not if he was here physically in body right now, he'd head straight for you. But he wants a relationship with you. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I'm willing to take that step. If Jesus is willing to step toward me, I'm willing to step. Just be willing and open to that. Because in the story, there were those that were like, Jesus, you're way too scary. Get away from me. And he left because they told him. But if you're willing to invite me,
figure out what that looks like. But we want to be one form, a Christ-centered relationship. We want to come in beautiful ways. And whatever that avenue is, we want to create space for it even now. And so don't run away. This isn't quite the time to get out of the church class and do that. So please invite you to hang around. Have a conversation. One of the staff or the pastor. Covered by your love and who are significant in your eyes and value to you. So we get to call this church. More than that, we get to call this community. We get to call this family. God, I pray that you would help us continue to be in the way that we will have to lean on each other in order to accomplish your purpose in our lives. God, I pray that you grab a neighbor.